Welcome to More in the Word, a podcast of Moore Theological College in Sydney, Australia, that seeks to glorify God through biblically sound, thought-provoking and challenging talks and interviews. In this episode, from an online chapel service held 4 years ago on the 1st of September 2021 during the second Sydney COVID lockdown, Paul Grimmon, head of the ministry department at Moore Theological College, takes a closer look at Psalm 121, one of the songs of ascents. Paul reminds us not to look to the hills and the world around us for help, but to lift our eyes to the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who does not slumber, the God who has promised to keep us and hold us fast evermore. We hope you find the episode helpful.
Well, good morning, brothers. It's great to be here with you. I've been in some kind of form of paid ministry now for about 24 years. And one of the things that I've realized is that I keep thinking there's going to be a magical point on the horizon where it all gets easier and everything will become smooth sailing. And what I've learned over time is that God's just going to keep teaching me not to be quite so stupid. Earlier in the year, this year, I just had another one of those moments towards the beginning of the academic year. I had a slightly larger teaching load than normal. I had some things going on in relationship with some people that I cared about that were complex and had gotten a bit difficult. I had a couple of tutors pull out of classes that I was running at the last minute. I had a couple of partial things arise, and it was all in the lead up. My daughter was getting married on that weekend in the middle of kind of the run towards the start of campus. And I got to tell you, once we got into things and I was trying to organize mission and keep my lectures up to date and whatever, I got to Easter time and I was just smashed. I felt like, you know, those pictures when someone's been shipwrecked and you kind of roll up on the beach and they're kind of half alive and they're gasping for breath. That's kind of what it felt like for me. For all of the joy and privilege of the task of ministry, it involves people. It involves so much that we don't control. And it's actually about matters of life and death and relationship with God. And so with Paul, you sometimes cry out, don't you, who is sufficient for such a task? Now, my question for you this morning then is, where do you look when it gets like that? Where do you naturally turn? Where do your eyes go when you start to drown? And in some ways, it's the question of our psalmist. So I'm going to read Psalm 121, and we're just going to have a little dig in there this morning and a think about our great and precious God. But let me read the passage to you. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Well, brothers, that opening verse of the psalm asks kind of a universal question, doesn't it? Where does my help come from? Whether he's overwhelmed or feeling flat or whatever else, his question at this moment is, I look to the hills. Where does my hope come from? And in some ways, that little phrase that begins the psalm, I look to the hills, describes something weirdly universal about the human condition. Have you ever noticed that in the movies, it doesn't matter where you are and when you are, the help comes over the hills, whether you're battling on the plains of Gondor and you're fighting the minions of Sauron and all of a sudden the riders of Rohan come over the hills and flood onto the plain. Or actually, it kind of reminds me of growing up. We didn't visit my grandparents very often. They lived a long way away. It was about 800 kilometres drive from my house. And so we'd kind of get in the car, drive all day, fold ourselves out of the car at the end of the day at my grandparents' place. She would say hello. My grandfather would say hello. And after about 5 minutes of difficult conversation, we'd all sit in front of the television. One of the things I remember from that time in my life is watching lots of B-grade Western movies on television with my grandma. And again, it's that moment. Everything's gone to pieces. Half the characters are lying dead. You wonder how they're going to get out of it. And over the hills comes riding the cavalry and everybody gets saved. There's something human about looking to the hills and asking the question, where's my hope? Where's my help going to come from? And I suspect that in some ways it's a reminder that just occasionally as humans, our natural instinct is to cast around for other help before we look to God. Calvin has this lovely little comment on these verses. He says, "What is the meaning of this unsettled looking of the prophet who casts his eyes now on this side and now on that as if faith directed him not to God? I answer that the thoughts of the godly are never so stayed upon the word of God as not to be carried away at the first impulse to some allurements, and especially when dangers disquiet us or when we are assailed with sore temptations, it is scarcely possible for us, from our being so inclined to the earth, not to be moved by the enticements presented to us until our minds put a bridle on themselves and turn back to God." Now, don't you love that last phrase? There's this kind of, I'm in trouble and I start looking around for help anywhere. I have to bridle my mind and remind myself not to turn into the hopes of this world, but to actually turn to God himself. And the rest of this psalm is really this gentle encouragement and a slight chiding from God about our foolishness in casting around for hope from the world. But God in his gentle kindness doesn't kind of rouse on us, but reminds us of his character and of his commitment to us. And so, brothers, this morning I just want to remind you a bit of God's character and of his commitment to us as an encouragement to help you to look to him as your father in all the ups and downs of life. So two things, God's character and commitment. Pick it up with me in verse 2. "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." The first thing that God wants to remind you about himself is that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who holds the stars in his hands. Now, in God's kindness, just before lockdown started, we actually got a few days away in the country with my youngest son and Kathy. And one of the things we did out there was we visited the Dish out at Forbes. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you've seen the movie, but it is literally this radio telescope rises up out of the middle of a sheep paddock. You're kind of driving through the countryside and just there it is and you kind of go up to it. There's actually not a whole lot you can do there apart from stare and gaze at the telescope and see some kind of displays, but they do have some 3D movies that are designed to help you understand a little bit of the science of astronomy and whatever. And one of them is basically designed to show you how small you are. What happens is they start the movie and it's just a person. And then they say, compare you to the city in which you live and then to the country and then to the world. And you get there and you're already feeling like, you know, I'm a drop in the ocean, right? But they haven't even started yet. So they then say, okay, let's compare the Earth to the size of Jupiter. Well, there's about 1,300 lots of the Earths would fit into Jupiter. And then they go, but actually Jupiter's really tiny because there's 1,000 lots of Jupiter all sitting to the sun. And then they say, but actually our sun's a real baby in the world of suns. You go to the super mega stars and there's actually about 1,500 lots of our sun would fit into one of those massive giants. And then they zoom out from that picture and show you that just our galaxy has somewhere between 100 and 400 billion stars in it. And then they pop out from that galaxy and you realize that there are other galaxies. And we're walking out at the end. And Joel says to me, he says, "Dad, those movies, they just make me feel a bit weird inside. We are so small." Yeah, we are so small, brothers, but our God is so big. The maker of the heavens and the earth is our God. We are so tiny, but the one that we know has made all of that. And so when we begin to cast around in response to our problems, looking for help, why do we not look to the one who has the entire universe seated in the palm of his hand? When life gets a struggle, the fact that we don't turn to God is just a little bit dumb. But God, in his kindness, he doesn't want to just remind us that he's the one who made heaven and earth. But he wants to remind us that his attention is actually directed towards us and he's not distracted. Occasionally my kids will laugh at me. If I'm in the middle of a task, if I'm writing something or working on something, they'll tell me, they can ask me 3 or 4 times. They can even stand beside me and say, "Hey, Dad, I want to talk to you about something." And I'm so far in the zone that it's like they're kind of talking to a brick wall. Our Father in heaven's not like that. In fact, he reminds us in verses 3 and 4, he is the God who will not slumber. The God who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He is never distracted and his attention is never elsewhere. It's kind of remarkable to think about God, isn't it? He is inexhaustible. He never gets to the end of the day and needs to put his feet up. He doesn't slow down because his work has involved a great exertion. He doesn't nod off. He doesn't count sheep. His eyes don't glaze over. He never feels that weariness in his bones that make you long for the pillow and then feel a softness as you crash into it. He is actually the God who doesn't sleep, who watches over us day and night, no matter what it is that comes our way. The God who doesn't need to be tapped on the shoulder or shaken awake. The God who actually knows and loves us and hears from us. And brothers, it's a reminder, when God does not answer our prayers in exactly the way that we would like or with the timeliness that we desire, it's not because he's inattentive or because he's not listening or because he doesn't care, but it's because he actually has better things in mind than the things that we long for, things that are right for his glory, things that are appropriate for his kingdom, things that are good for the salvation and growth in godliness of his people. God does not slumber. The one who made the heavens and the earth never falls asleep, and he knows when you speak to him, even when it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Our Father loves us and knows us and watches us, and we cannot be shaken from his care. And so the psalmist tells us about the character and nature of our God. But the other thing that he does is he reminds us of the way that God is towards us. He reminds us of God's commitment and how he treats us. And he does it particularly with this word keep. Did you notice how often it occurs in the psalm? Verse 3, he who keeps you. Verse 4, he who keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God will keep you. You cannot go anywhere that's outside of his care and comfort and his ability to hold you firm. And then the images that the psalmist piles up describe how it is that God keeps you. You see there, he will not let your foot slip. It's actually an image all the way through the psalms of having your feet kind of whisked out from under you and that terrible feeling of falling to the ground. Last term, I had a moment walking up the stairs chatting to one of my colleagues when I missed kind of the top step onto the landing, you know, the one from the main concierge desk up to the first floor in the new building. Very last step of that first flight, I missed, and all of a sudden I felt myself kind of rolling towards the floor. And it felt like it was in slow motion, but there was nothing that I could do to stop myself. And I ended up with my elbow hitting the floor, my arm whacking the window, and it really surprised me. I actually went into shock and had to sit there and kind of felt quite dizzy for a long time. And it wasn't just the falling over bit, but it was just the feeling of stupidity. Like I'd been talking to somebody and then all of a sudden I'm lying there on the ground and Morgan's out at the concierge desk and she comes running up the stairs going, "Are you okay?" And I'm kind of starting to feel like this kind of doddery old bloke who's fallen over and everybody kind of needs to look after. And actually, to have your foot slip feels embarrassing, but it also feels disquieting and unsettling. And it's just a little image of what it's like to live in a broken world. There are times when our foot slips, when we're not in control and when we're falling towards the floor and we can't hold ourselves up. That's the nature so often of life and things in ministry. But God's commitment is that in an eternal perspective, he's the God who will keep your foot from slipping. He's not just the one who keeps your foot from slipping, but he keeps you from all the evils of the day and the night. Verse 6, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, as someone who's lived through too many Australian summers, you know what being sheltered from the heat of the sun in the worst of the day is like, and that's what God's like towards us. But he also keeps us from the fears and the terrors of the night, and whatever they are, whether that's the loneliness when you lie awake in your bed at 4 a.m. and no one else is awake and you're just alone with your thoughts and the distresses of life in the world, God is there with you in the day and in the night. He is there for you always. And so verse 7, the psalmist wraps it up. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Brothers, there is nothing in all of creation, nothing in heaven on earth that is more powerful than our God. Life is not a wrestle between light and dark, between God and the forces of evil at one level. There is not a cosmic spiritual battle taking place and we wonder who the winners and the losers are. The whole of the creation belongs to our Father in heaven. And from the hairs on your head to the stars in the universe, the God who owns it all has power over it all, and his promise is that he will keep you. And brothers, I can't prove this to you, but I do wonder whether the Apostle Paul was reading Psalm 121 on the day that he penned Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor the things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The promise and nature of our God revealed to us in Psalm 121 is kind of solidified and displayed in all of its bedrock reality at the point that God gives up his son and commits himself to us. There is no evil that can keep you from my love. There is no one who can snatch you out of my hands. There is nothing that can stop you seeing your Lord face to face on that last day when he returns and brings you home. Brothers, the promise of this psalm that you have a God who made the universe, who knows you, who never sleeps, and who will keep your life and will keep you from evil, it's not a promise not to suffer. You only need to look at Jesus to realize that's not a promise that we won't suffer, but it's a promise that God will keep you. He will keep your foot from slipping. He will hold you firm in your faith in Jesus. And he will bring you home on that last day. I was speaking to a dear friend a couple of weeks ago. She's a saint in her early 60s who's suffered deeply and serves others tirelessly. And in the middle of the conversation, she calmly asked me, "Did I tell you that I nearly died last week?" And I had to confess that no, I hadn't actually heard that she nearly died last week. And she's proceeded to tell me that her mother had died quite young of heart disease, and so she had to go and get a scan done on her heart. And she walks into the room and the machine and all that kind of stuff. They put the catheter in. She's lying there. They put the dye in, and all of a sudden she starts to feel her lips swelling up, and she starts feeling like she can't breathe. Someone hits a button. There's this loud kind of siren goes off. Suddenly there's a dozen people in the room. They're injecting her with things. They're kind of looking after her and whatever else. And she'd gone into anaphylactic shock in response to the stuff that they'd injected into her body. But the thing that really stood out to me about the conversation was that she said to me, and this was totally matter of fact, she said, "While this was all going on, I was having a little chat with God. And I said to him, well, maybe I'll get to see you sooner than I thought." And it just struck me that here is a woman who, by the grace of God, for decades has been learning to turn to the Lord in the face of trouble, so that her instinct at that moment, when almost, you know, her life was flashing in front of her eyes, was to talk to her Heavenly Father and say, "I'm coming home to be with you if that's where I am right now." And it strikes me that that's kind of the shape and mood and encouragement of this psalm, isn't it? That in the midst of mess and sin and brokenness and our own weakness and sometimes our sense of being totally out of control and unable to do this work, brothers, don't just cast around for the things of the world. Don't look to the hills, but turn to your Father in heaven, who never sleeps, who has all the power of the universe, who will keep you from evil and bring you home. He will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So turn your eyes to him.
Thank you for listening to More in the Word, a podcast of More Theological College. Our vision as a college is to see God glorified by men and women living for and proclaiming Jesus Christ, growing healthy churches, and reaching the lost. More College is dedicated to helping all Christians know God better and make Him known. Throughout the year, the college opens its doors to men and women from across Sydney and the world through live streaming. The college invites Christians everywhere to participate in talks, seminars, and workshops that address topical ethics issues, highlight the latest research, and explore what the Bible says about gender roles. Discover the events of the college through its Centre for Christian Living, the Priscilla and Aquila Centre, and the library. All event details are on the More College website. Search More, that's M-O-O-R-E, .edu.au/events to find out more. That's more.edu.au/events. You can find out more and register for any of our events by visiting the More College website. That's more, more.edu.au. If you have not already done so, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast through your favorite podcast platform so that you'll never miss an episode. For past episodes, further resources, and to make a tax-deductible donation to support the work of the college and its mission, please visit our website at more.edu.au. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and leave a review on your platform of choice. We always benefit from feedback from our listeners, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at comms@more.edu.au. The More in the Word podcast was edited and produced by me, Karen Bielhartz, and the communications team at More Theological College. The music for our podcast was provided by Mark July from Pixabay. Until next time.